Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth, our Christmas Eve broadcast. You know, I'm not one of these people that puts a lot of stock in special days, like birthdays in my family never were a big deal. Usually all you'd do is get spanked, amen. Your brother or sister would give you licks and things. And we didn't always have parties. And you know, the Scripture talks about some people esteem one day above another and others esteem every day alike. I worship the Lord, and I'm excited about Him coming to the earth every day of my life. I really am. And so Christmas, in one sense, isn't anything real special to me. But on the other hand, I do like it because there are people at Christmas time that will talk about the Lord. Like my sons roped me into going to this concert last night, and it wasn't my style of music. It was so loud. I guess my wife and I have officially become old fogies because we were sitting there with our fingers in our ears, and even our sons admitted it was really loud. And it's not my style of music. It was loud. There was a lot of things about it I didn't like, but it was Christmas. And man, I mean, they were singing Joy to the World and other things. And, you know, I just liked that. That is infinitely better than that style of music with something else to it. And you can go into a mall and you can hear songs about the Lord in a place that typically doesn't talk about the Lord. And it's a great opportunity to witness to people, but just because people's attention are put on the Lord. So I said all of that to say that, you know, it's not a big thing to me in one sense, but I really like the opportunity to talk to people. It seems like it opens up doors. And I just pray that this will be a special time for you. One of the things I really like about it is getting your family together. And that's especially good now that we have a granddaughter. And so anyway, I do like the holidays, but man, I worship the Lord and I esteem every day a day that Jesus came to the earth. I honor Him on that. I've been talking for nearly 2 weeks now, and tomorrow is going to be my last day that we'll offer this. And remember, of course, tomorrow is Christmas Day. Many of you are going to be busy or something. If you would like these products that we've been offering, I encourage you to please go to the effort of calling and writing. Matter of fact, you can't call today because our offices are closed. Amen. But I guess you could go on our website. We'll be giving all of that information. And you could go on our website and order these materials. But it would really help you if you got all of the materials that we're offering about the Word became flesh. So I've been talking about how that God created the world and put down laws, spiritual laws, physical laws, and even God Himself abode by these laws. He wouldn't break them. The reason that it took 4,000 years for Jesus to come to the earth is because God said that you had to conceive children. He couldn't let a man be the one who provided the seed that would conceive inside of a woman and bring forth a child, or it would have had that fallen human nature in it. He had to create a different seed, and the Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, that the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. So He had to speak to people's hearts and get them to prophesy and speak out these words. And then the angel Gabriel came with these prophetic words and gave a proposal to Mary. And when she accepted, the Holy Spirit took these spoken words, prophetic words that God had been speaking for 4,000 years, and that became the seed that entered into Mary and that she conceived. Now, that is powerful that God Himself, Almighty God, could not violate these principles, these laws. I guess He could have, but He wouldn't because He's got integrity and He'll never lie. He'll never violate what He says. So if God was bound by this and if it took God time to bring His promised Son into this earth, well, then how much more understandable is it that it's going to take me time sometimes to see these miracles that I need come to pass? I need to take the Word of God and sow it in my heart. Here's another question I want to answer about why did Jesus have to become flesh? And I've already hinted at this and touched on it, but let me use these scriptures out of John chapter 5. And in verse 25, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Now, that's a little bit wordy, and I know that a lot of people just pass through this, but let me go to the end of the 27th verse and start from there. It says, all of this happens because he is the Son of Man. Now, what does that mean? If you were to study, and I'm not going to take time to turn over there, I'll just say this, you'll have to go study it out on your own. But when the Scripture refers to Jesus as the Son of God, it's always referring to his divinity side. Hopefully you understand that Jesus was God in the flesh. That's what the Scripture says. It was God among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was God, but his physical body, even though it was a sinless physical body, it didn't have the corruption of the human nature in it. It was a physical human body, a sinless human body, but still physical nonetheless. So to describe what part of God you're talking about, what part of Jesus, the term Son of God referred to him as being divine. It was divinity. And you can see that because when Jesus said that he was the Son of God, they took up stones to stone him to death. And he says, "Why are you seeking to stone me? What good work have I done that you're going to kill me over?" And they said, "Not because of any of your good works, but because you, being a man, have made yourself God." Those people understood that when he said he was the Son of God, they equated that to divinity. And truly, Jesus was God in the flesh, is what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I think it's either 1 or 2 Timothy 3, 16. And so Jesus was God in the flesh. And when the angels came and worshiped him in Luke chapter 2, proclaimed him Lord. They worshiped him Lord. Come and see the Lord. And so he didn't grow into becoming Lord. He didn't grow into becoming a God. He was born God. In his spirit, he was divine, but he had a physical body. And the term Son of Man is always referring to the physical side of him. Now that's really important. So look at this. Here's what he's saying in verse 27. He says that God the Father had given him authority to execute judgment also, and here's the reason, because he was the Son of Man. Or you could say it's because of his physical body. And this answers a major question for me. Why did God have to become a man? Why did he have to come to this earth? Why did he have to suffer and be a sacrifice, and be slain? That is such a huge price. That is such a tremendous price to pay. Couldn't God Almighty have done something differently? Here's the reasoning behind it. God established a system that people in this physical world have authority. He gave all authority over this earth to physical human beings. And John chapter 4, verse 24 says that God is a spirit. So by God saying that physical human beings now run and rule and dominate the earth, that took God himself out of the loop. Now God could influence us. He can speak to us, and to the degree that we cooperate, God can still release his power. And of course, you can see this just multiple times in the Bible, that when a man of God would stand in faith, he could part the Red Sea and do miracles, saw people raised from the dead, proclaim things, speak the Word of God, miracles would happen. God's power has been released into the earth since he created man, but only as people cooperate with him, only as people submit unto him. God is a spirit. He's not physical. And because of that, he didn't have direct control over the physical world. He had given that to men. And so that put him in a bind, because now men were all corrupted. All men had fallen. And there was no one man that could pay the price for sin. And so men were left to have to pay for their own sins. They were suffering, and Satan was oppressing them. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If you yield to Satan, which is the author of sin, then Satan becomes your master. That doesn't mean necessarily that you lose your salvation, but he has dominance in your life because you have yielded to him. And all men, through our sin, had yielded unto Satan, and Satan was just destroying the human race. And there was no man that could redeem the whole human race. One man's life was only worth one other man's life. So how is God going to fix this? There was no person that could do it. God was the only one capable, but he didn't have a physical body. He was spirit. So Jesus came. It took 4,000 years for God to speak all of those things and produce the seed that impregnated Mary and produced the physical body for Jesus to inhabit. But when Jesus came in this flesh and into this physical body, he said himself, "This is the reason I have authority to execute judgment on this earth, is because I am the Son of Man, because of this physical body." Your physical body is what gives you authority here in this life. And see, Satan, in a sense, had been shielded, protected from God's wrath, because God gave dominion to men and says, "You do with it whatever you want to." Well, they willingly. Now, Eve was deceived, and it says this over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. Adam was the one who God gave the authority over this earth to. And Eve was deceived, and I'm assuming that because of Adam's intense love for Eve, he willingly went with her in this transgression. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing, and he willingly turned all of this power and authority that God had given us over the earth to the devil. And Satan became the god of this world. And in a sense, the only thing that God could have done immediately to rectify that situation was just wipe out all mankind, destroy the devil, people, everything, destroy the earth and start over. But because of God's intense love for Adam and Eve and for all the human race that he knew would come out of that, God has put up with all of this pain, with all of this suffering, with all of the perversion that man has done, because he loved us and he wanted to redeem us. And it took him 4,000 years to provide that body for his son. But when Jesus gained this body, then that gave him the authority to execute judgment. And now Satan was in trouble, because Satan had been, in a sense, operating under the authority that man was given. Man empowered the devil, but God couldn't do anything about it directly because he was a spirit and not physical. But now that Jesus came, Satan was in trouble. He was hurting for certain, because now God also had a physical body. And you know, there's a scripture that is in Matthew chapter 28. This is Jesus speaking right as he was taken up into heaven. And in Matthew chapter 28, he says in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Again, we skip over these verses, and because we don't have these deeper understanding on some things, we just read through this and don't think about it. But did you know, prior to Jesus coming to this earth, God had all authority and power in heaven, but not in earth. He had turned the power or the authority over the earth to physical human beings. And so, in a sense, you could say that God didn't have power or authority in the earth, except to the degree that some person would allow him to flow through them. But after Jesus came, Jesus became a physical human being, and now God had a physical body which enabled him to have power here on earth. And that's what Jesus is making reference to. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the reason that Jesus came, is because God needed power and authority on this earth. And to do that, he had to have somebody with a physical body. And regardless of how holy they were, the prophets of old, Moses and Elijah or whoever you want to name, they never submitted to God to the degree that Jesus could. They couldn't do it because they were fallen human beings themselves. They may have seen some great manifestations come through them, but nothing compared to what Jesus did. Jesus saw greater manifestations than any of them, and now he had a physical body and God was free. He now had authority. And I know that there's a lot of people that as I'm saying these things, this just doesn't mean much to you because you think, oh, I don't believe in this stuff because you don't observe this. You don't respect authority. There's a lot of people watching this program, and I'm not saying this to trash anybody. I'm just saying that this is the way it is with a lot of people, that you rebelled at your parents, you rebelled at authority, you criticize and speak against people all of the time. You know, we just had a recent thing happen with a staff member that there was a difference between two staff members over an issue, which things like that are nearly unavoidable. But the difference in assessing something isn't the deal. It was the fact that that other employee trashed their supervisor, didn't respect their authority. And I had to call them in. We sat down and talked about it. And they thought, well, look at what they did over here. And they were thinking that the way that this issue was handled was the problem. I said, that's not the problem. I said, if they were totally wrong, well, then that would be a mistake on their part. But they didn't do anything maliciously. I said, what is wrong and what was malicious is the way that you showed disrespect and insubordination and did this. And that's the problem. And see, there's a lot of people that to them, this is just the way that they live. They trash people. They talk about things. They don't show a lot of respect. They don't go by people's authority. They only submit if it's going to cost them something, if they're going to be thrown in jail or fined or something like that. But boy, they just don't think this way. We have a lot of independent, rebellious people with rebellious attitudes today. But you know what? God's not like that. Man, God is a God of integrity. God respects you. He gave you a free choice. And even though God tells you which choice to make, Deuteronomy 30:19, he says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He even gave you the answer to this quiz. He'll tell you which choice to make, and he will draw you and inspire you to make the right choice. But you know what? God respects your sovereignty, your independence so much that even though he doesn't want you to go to hell, he would allow you to go to hell, and he would literally defend your right to do so. No fanatic is going to come and make you get born again. They can't force you into salvation. God has given you a free choice, and even though he wants you to make the right choice, he honors that. He respects this. He has given you things that he will not violate. Boy, this is important. Again, I think that sometimes what I'm saying is lost on people because they don't think this way. They don't respect anybody or anything. But God isn't like that. God created laws. He established laws, and God himself will honor them. And he went to great effort. And you know why Jesus had to come to this earth? Because John chapter 4, verse 24 says that God is a spirit. God wasn't a man. And he gave his word. He gave his word to physical human beings. Only physical people have authority in this earth. And when we messed it up and when we all became corrupted, then the only solution was for God to become a man and pay our price. And because Jesus wasn't only the Son of Man, he was also the Son of God. He was divine. When he gave his life and sacrificed his life, one drop of the blood of Jesus was worth more than all of the lives of the human race from time past to time in the future. Billions and billions and billions of people, none of us, all of us together, didn't amount to the holiness and the value and the honor that was in Jesus. Now again, that's a value that a lot of people don't have. They just view Jesus as being one person. But no, he was God in the flesh. You know, this is a poor comparison, but it's really hard for me to think of a good comparison of this. But just imagine that, you know, there was an ant hill here, and for some reason or another, all of these ants were going to die, and I felt so sorry for them, and I thought, you know what? If I could become an ant, I'd die for you. And if I was a human being, and somehow or another, I could become an ant and give my life, but I still retained the humanity. I was still a human being just trapped in a little ant's body. Well, then my life would be worth more than that entire anthill. It'd be worth more than all of the ants on the entire earth, just the fact that it would be a person inside of that ant body. Well, God was God. The scripture says when Solomon was dedicating the temple, he says, God, even the heavens and the heavens of the heavens aren't big enough to contain you. How are you going to live in this house that I've built? Think about how could God, that the heavens can't even contain him, fit into a physical human body? It doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. But somehow he did it. That's God. All things are possible to God. God limited himself. But when he gave his life, he was so pure, he was so holy, that the life of Jesus was worth more than your life, more than my life, more than the life of every human being. I think sometimes we miss this. We just think in human terms, and we see Jesus die and don't understand that this was God Almighty becoming one of his creatures that he had created and dying for us. I don't know that we can understand that with our finite mind. But God, he was just worth more than all of us. The Creator has to be worth more than his creation. The Creator is always more important than the thing he created. You can't create something that is more important than the Creator. And so Jesus, when he died for us, his life was worth more than all of our lives. And therefore, one drop of his blood purged all of the sin of the entire human race. Man, that's a powerful truth. And see, again, here's a truth that runs parallel with everything I've been saying. God binds himself by his word. When he says something, he's bound by it. It won't change. It cannot alter. And he said that in the day you eat of that fruit, you shall die. They didn't physically die, but they spiritually died that day, and there had to be the shedding of blood. If you've got to die when you sin. The Lord loved us so much, he didn't want us to die, so what he did was come and become a man and die in our place, and he shed his blood. That's what all of those Old Testament sacrifices were about. The reason they killed all of these animals, they couldn't forgive your sins, but it was symbolic. A type and a shadow of when God himself would become a man and give his life, and his life would atone for the entire human race. The life of God in the flesh was worth more than all of the human race all put together. And so Jesus became a man, and that gave him authority to execute judgment and to now do things because he gained a physical body. And then when he left this earth, you know what? He shared this authority with us. But the catch on this is, we can't ever lose this authority the way that Adam lost it, because now it's not solely invested in men in the body of Christ, but we are joint heirs with him. That means it takes both parties to sign something over when you're a joint heir. We might blow it again, but Jesus will never turn that authority back over to the devil, so it is secure. Man, these are good things we're talking about, but I'm out of time again today. Let me remind you that our offices are closed because of the holiday, but we do have people that will process the orders if you will go on the website and you can order these materials. I believe they'll be a blessing to you. So listen as our announcer gives you that information.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057C for the CD or T3202D for the DVD. Or you can get the original 5-part DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on audio teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Word Became Flesh series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. We're so pleased that you've joined us for this Christmas holiday broadcast. In honor of that holiday, we've given our employees the day off. There are no operators on the helpline today, but you can go to our website, even on holidays, and order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. You may also write us and request ministry materials at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Once again, let me mention that we've closed our phone center today to give our employees some time with their family over the Christmas holidays, but you can go to our website. The address is on the screen, and you can order these materials. There's a place that shows what I'm teaching about this week, The Word Became Flesh, and you can order right there. There's a place for you to receive those. Also, you can check out our website, and we have this teaching available as free downloads. If you want to listen to them right there on the website, or if you want to download it on an MP3 player, you can download not only this teaching, but I have about 300 or 400 of my teaching subjects available as free downloads right there. The address is on your screen, so please check it out today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
How would Mary have ever convinced Joseph that she was pregnant and that it was not from a man, that God is the one that got her pregnant? You know what? That's the kind of thing that they sick you in insane asylums for, loony bins. I mean, how do you convince somebody that you are pregnant but you've been faithful to him?